Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Musical Matinees for You with Donald Saville Cook. So put the kettle on or tune in on a pleasant Sunday drive as we raise the curtain with specially selected tracks before exploring the best of musical theatre from across the decades. Musical Matinees for You, brought to you by Alan Hamilton of One Agency, the Property Specialists.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you to my new sponsor, Alan Hamilton. If you use him, you will not be disappointed. Now, what have we got on the menu for this week? Well, I'm going to give you a clue before I tell you what actual musical we're going to explore together. So here comes the clue.
Fortunatissimo, 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 f
Well, that audience enjoyed that, and I hope you did. That was Thomas Hampson singing Largo or Factotum from Barbara Seville. That's not going to be the musical we're going to look at today, but we're going to look at another famous barber. And he comes from London, or he did originally, and then he went back there after a spell in prison in Australia. So just to finish off with Thomas Hampton, what he was doing, the All Factotum, he's saying though he's mainly employed as a barber, he gets to do other jobs and they call him here, there, everywhere until he can't cope. And that's the happy ending to that particular item from him. Largo or Factotum from the Barbara Seville by Rossini. Now, what we've got now is something quite a different nature. We've got a different sort of barber. So we'll go back to the start of the story, which is in the musical, is set in 1846. And there's a chap called Benjamin Barker, who was a barber. And he arrives in London after a sea voyage with his friend Anthony Hope. And he was 15 years before that, he was falsely convicted and exiled by Judge Turpin, nasty chap, who was after his wife, and that was the main reason he convicted him, Lucy. So Barker adopts the alias Sweeney Todd and returns to his old shop back in London beside the Thames there, and meets up with Mrs. Nellie Lovett, who runs a meat pie shop. And she sells the worst pies in London, so everybody says. Mrs. Lovett actually tells him that Turpin, the judge, actually raped his wife, Lucy. Not his wife, but of course Sweeney's wife. And she poisoned herself as a result of that, so the story goes. And the couple's daughter, Joanna, is now been purloined by Turpin for no good purposes. And when Todd hears this, it reopens old sores with him. And so he reopens his barber shop. Mrs. Lovett provides him with a razor, and he starts to ply his trade. As he does this, his little mate, Anthony, becomes enamoured when he meets Joanna, but is caught by Turpin and driven away by his henchman, Beadle Bramford. So with that, we're getting with the opening numbers from Sweeney Todd the Barber, and it's taken from the film trap, the motion picture. So here we have the start of Sweeney Todd the Barber.
Thank you. I have sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru. But there's no place like London.
No, there's no place like London. You are young, life has been kind to you. You will learn.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit a privileged few, making mock of the vermin in the lower zoo, turning beauty into filth and greed. I too have sailed the world and seen its wonders, for the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru. But there's no place like London. A barber and his wife, and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason and his life, and she was beautiful. And she was virtuous, and he was naive. Another man who saw that she was beautiful, a pious vulture of the law, who with a gesture of his claw removed the barber from his plate. Then there was nothing but to wait, and she would fall, so soft, so young, so lost, and oh, so beautiful. Many years ago, I doubt if anyone would know.
Half a minute, can't you sit you down, sit. All I meant is that I haven't seen a customer for weeks. Did you come in for a parcel? Don't forgive me if me head's a little vague.
What was that?
But you think we had the plague. From the way that people keep avoiding. No, you don't. Heaven knows I try, sir. But there's no one comes and even to inhale. Right you are, sir, would you like a drop of ale? Mind you, I can hardly blame them. These are probably the worst pies in London. I know what it takes to take them. I should know, I make them, but good night. The worst pies in London. Even that's polite, the worst pies in London. If you dare to take a bite. Is that just disgusting? You have to concede it. It's nothing but crusting. You drink this, you'll need it. The worst pies in London. And I wonder with the price of meat what it is when you get it. Never thought I'd live to see the day. Many think it was a treat for the poor animals. What are dying in the street? Mrs. Mooney has a pie shop. Does her business, but I noticed something weird. Lately all her neighbours' cats had disappeared. Have to hand it to her, what a course. Enterprise, popping pussies into pies. Wouldn't do in my shop. Just the thought of it's enough to make you sick. And I'm telling you, them pussy cats is quick. No denying times is hard, sir. Even harder than the worst pies in London. Only Lord and nothing more is that just revolting. All greasy and gritty. It looks like it's molting and tastes like, well, pity a woman alone with limited wind and the worst pies in London. Ah, sir, times is hard. Times is hard. There was a barber and his wife, and he was beautiful. A proper artist with a knife, but they transported him for life, and he was beautiful. This wife, you see, pretty little thing, silly little knit, had a chance for the moon on a string. Poor thing, poor thing. There was this judge, you see, wanted her like mad, every day sent her a flower. But did she come down from her tower? Sat up there and sobbed by the hour. Ah, but there was worse yet to come, poor thing. Well, Beadle calls on her all polite. Poor thing, poor thing. The judge, he tells her, is all contrite. He blames himself for her dreadful plight. She must come straight to his house tonight. Poor thing, poor thing. When she goes there, poor thing, poor thing. They're having this ball all in masks. There's no one she knows there, poor dear, poor thing. She wanders tormented and drinks, poor thing. The judge has repented, she thinks, poor thing. Oh, where is Judge Turpin, she asks. He was there all right, only not so contrite. She wasn't no match for such craft, you see. And everyone thought it so droll. They figured she had to be daft, you see. So all of them stood there and laughed, you see. Poor soul, poor thing.
To me, friend, whisper,
listen. I know you've been locked out of sight all these years, like me, my friend.
So Sweeney's all set up. He's got his friends back. They were the tools of his trade, which are going to become a gruesome trade. And Mrs. Lovett has disclosed that she was in love with Sweeney, but his wife was in the way. Anyway, she also now told him that his daughter was now the ward of a nasty Judge Turpin. So they go to a spy Judge Turpin in action, that is, Anthony does, and he gets enamoured with Joanna. So we're going to hear a little bit from Joanna now, as she sings for us a little track named The Greenfinch and the Linnet Bird.
Anything? How is it you sing? teach me to be more adaptive. Greenfinch and linnet bird, nightingale, blackbird, teach me how to sing. If I cannot fly, let me sing.
Alan Hamilton of One Agency does more than achieve the best price for your residential property. He promises a relaxed and friendly professional relationship, working with you at your pace to ensure a smooth transition is achieved. Alan also has real skills with people that have proved invaluable in liaising with prospective buyers. Call Alan today on 027 455 353 or email allan@oadunedin.nz.
So poor old Anthony, he gets driven off from viewing Joanna by one of Mr. Turpin's, Judge Turpin's staff, a beadle. We won't bother with him very much, except he drives Anthony off, and the story progresses with Sweeney looking at his rival, Barber, who's got a set up business, so he seeks to compete with him, and in fact they indulge in a little exercise of shaving, which of course Sweeney wins. During the course of that, a character turns up into their lives called Tobias, and he becomes a student of Mrs. Lovett and her pie making regime. So now we have a few numbers coming your way. Now we've got Pirelli's Miracle Elixir, which is stuff he pours on people's head with a view to making their hair grow, which is criticised by, of course, Sweeney. And then they have this contest, and the name of the rival barber is Adolfo. So here we have two numbers coming your way: the Miracle Elixir and the contest.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Do you wake every morning? discover your pillow was covered with hair. Ought not to be there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, from now on you can waken at ease. You need never again have a worry or care. I will show you a miracle marvellous rare. Gentlemen, you are about to see something will rose from the dead. On the top of my head. Twas Pirelli's miracle elixir. That's what did the trick, sir. True, sir, true. Was it quick, sir? Did it in a tick, sir? Just like an elixir, all to do. How about a bottle, mister? Only costs a penny, guaranteed. Does Pirelli stimulate the growth, sir? You can have my oath, sir. Tis unique. Rub 'em in it, stimulating in it. Soon you'll have to thin it once a week.
Pardon me, ma'am, what's that awful stench?
I'll be standing near an open trench.
I'll be standing near an open trench.
By Pirelli's miracle elixir, anything more slick, sir, soon sprouts curls. Try Pirelli's when they see our thick, sir. You can have your pick, sir, of the girls. Wanna buy a bottle, missy?
What is this?
What is this?
Smells like piss.
Smells like ew.
Looks like piss. This is piss. Piss with ink.
Pirelli's, activate your roots, sir.
Keep it off your boots, sir. Reach right through.
Yes, get it. Pirelli's, use a bottle of it. Ladies seem to love it.
Floors do too.
Now, signorini, signori, we mix at the ladder, but first you gather around, signorini, signori. You look in a man who have had the glory to serve the Pope, Mr. Sweeney. Whoever, I beg your pardon, you'll probably say it was only a cardinal. Nope! It was the Pope! To shave the face, to cut the hair, required a grace, required the flair. For if you slip, you nick the skin, you clip the chin, you rip the lip a bit beyond a repair. To shave the face, or even a part, without it a sword, required the heart, not just the flash. It take a panache, it take the passion for the art. To shave the face, to trim the beard, to make the bristle gleam like a whistle. This is from early infancy the talent give to me, my God. It take the skill, it take the brains, it take the will. To take the pains, he take the bass, he take the bass.
You're listening to Musical Matinees for You with Donald Saville Cook on ORFM Dunedin. Brought to you by Alan Hamilton of One Agency, the Property Specialists.
Let it brew white. I've been thinking flowers, maybe daisies, to brighten up the room. Don't you think some flowers, pretty daisies, might relieve the gloom? Oh, wait.
Well, Mrs. Lovett's given some good advice there to Sweeney, because they've got to develop this system that's going to arise of using his victims, starting off with Turpin, for the substance of meat pies. But don't you wait. If you've got some jobs to do on the estate agent's list, make no mistake and get the best there can be. And that's Alan Hamilton of First Mortgages. And you'll get the best deal that you've ever had on any estate job. In the meantime, we're now going to go over to Judge Turpin and the story of Pretty Women that comes up. And yes, that's what we'll do. And after that, we come to the Epiphany sung by Sweeney.
What may I do for you today, sir? Stylish trimming of the hair. Soothing skin massage. Sit, sir. Sit.
You see, sir, a man infatuated with love, her ardent and eager slave. So fetch the pomade and palmist stone and lend me a more seductive tone, a sprinkling perhaps of French cologne. But first, sir, I think a shave.
The closest I ever came.
In a merry mood today, Mr. Turp?
Tis your delight, sir, catching fire from one man to the next.
Tis true, sir, love can still inspire the blood to pound the heart leap higher. What more
can man require
than love, sir?
More than love, sir.
What's that?
Women.
Ah, yes, women.
Pretty women.
Sir.
My lord, and who may it be said is your intended, sir?
My ward,
and prettier than must be.
Prettier than mother.
Hmm? What was that?
Nothing. Pretty women, fascinating. Sipping coffee,
Dancing pretty women are a wonder. Pretty women sitting in the window or standing on the stair. Something in them cheers the air. Pretty women
silhouetted
stay within you.
Glances
stay forever
breathing lightly.
Pretty women, pretty women, blowing out their candles or coming out their
hair.
Even when they
leave you and vanish, they somehow can still garden,
letter writing,
flower picking,
weather watching, how they make a man sing forever as you're living. Pretty women, sir, pretty women.
Well, at that point, Anthony reveals that he's got a love for the Turpin's a young lady, who Turpin wants to marry himself. And at that point, Turpin decides to dispense with Sweeney Todd's services when he was just about to cut his throat. So Sweeney Todd is annoyed by the whole thing, and we hear that in Epiphany, followed by A Little Priest.
I had him!
His throat was bare beneath my hand.
No, I had him!
His throat was there and he'll never come again.
Is he now? Hush, love, hush. I'll keep telling you.
When?
What's your rush?
Why did I wait? You told me to wait.
Now he'll never come again.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it.
But not for long. They all deserve to die. Tell you why. Mrs. Love, let's tell you why. Because in all of the whole human race, Mrs. Lovett, there are two kinds of men and only two. There's the one staying put in his proper place, and the one with his foot in the other one's face. Look at me, Mrs. Lovett, look at you. No, we all deserve to die. Even you, Mrs. Lovett, even I. Because the lives of the wicked should be made brief for the rest of us. Death will be a relief. We all deserve to die. And I'll never see Joanna. No, I'll never hug my girl to me.
Finished! All right, you, sir. How about a shave? Come and visit your good friend, Sweeney. You, sir! Too, sir. Welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation. Who, sir? You, sir?
No one's in the chair. Come on, come on. Sweeney's waiting. I want you, bleeders.
You, sir! Anybody!
Gentlemen, I don't be shy.
Not one man, no, nor 10 men, nor 100 can assuage me. I will have you!
Get him back, even
as he gloats. In the meantime, I'll practice on less honorable throats.
And my Lucy lies in ashes, and I'll never see my girl again. But the work waits. I'm alive at last, and I'm full of joy.
Alan Hamilton of One Agency does more than achieve the best price for your residential property. He promises a relaxed and friendly professional relationship, working with you at your pace to ensure a smooth transition is achieved. Alan also has real skills with people that have proved invaluable in liaising with prospective buyers. Call Alan today on 027 455 353 or email allan@oadunedin.nz.
Seems a downright shame.
Shame.
Seems an awful waste. Such a nice plump frame. What's his name has had? Has, nor he can't be traced. Business needs a lift. Debts to be erased. Think of it as thrift, as a gift, if you get my drift. Seems an awful waste. I mean, with the price of meat, what it is, when you get it, if you get it.
Ah.
Good, you got it. Take, for instance, Mrs. Mooney and a pie shop. Business never better, using only pussycats and toast. Now a pussy's good for maybe 6 or 7 at the most. And I'm sure they can't compare as far as taste.
Mrs. Lovett, what a charming notion.
Well,
eminently practical and yet appropriate
waste.
As always. Mrs. Lovett, how I've lived without you all these years, I'll never know.
Think
how
about
delectable.
Lots of other gentlemen are soon becoming for a show. Why they
how
think of
choice,
all
how
their
rare.
Pies.
For what's the sound of the world out there?
What, Mr. Todd? What, Mr. Todd? What is that sound?
Those crunching noises pervading the air.
Yes, Mr. Todd, yes, Mr. Todd, yes, all around.
It's man devouring man, my dear.
Then
and
who are we to deny it in here?
What is that?
It's priest. Have a little priest.
Is it really good?
Sir, it's too good, at least. Then again, they don't commit sins of the flesh. So it's pretty fresh.
Awful lot of fat.
Only where it's at.
Haven't you got poet or something like that?
No, you see, the trouble with poet is how do you know it's deceased? Try the priest. Lawyer's rather nice.
If it's for a price.
Order something else out to follow, since no one should swallow it twice.
Anything that's lean?
Well then, if you're British and loyal, you might enjoy Royal Marine. Anywhere it's clean. Though of course it tastes of wherever it's been.
Is that squire on the fire?
Mercy no, sir, look closer, you'll notice it's grosser.
Looks thicker, more like vicar.
No, it has to be grosser. It's green.
The history of the world, my love.
Save a lot of graves, do a lot of relatives' favours.
Is those below serving those up above?
Everybody shaves so there should be plenty of flavours.
How gratifying for ones to know that those above will serve those down below. What is that?
It's fop, finest in the shop. Oh, we have some shepherd's pie peppered with actual shepherd on top. And I just begun, Is the politician so oily? It's served with a dooley, have one.
Put it on a bun, well, you never know if it's going to run.
Fire the fryer, fire the destroyer.
No, the clergy is really too coarse and too mealy.
The nectar, it's compactor.
Ah, but always arrives overdone. I'll come again when you have judge on the menu. Have charity towards the world, my pet.
Yes, yes, I know, my love.
We'll take the customers that we can get.
High born and low, my love.
We'll not discriminate great from small. No, we'll serve anyone,
we'll
meaning anyone, and to anyone at all.
Well, Mrs. Lovett, on hearing that he intends to murder all his clients who come into his barber shop, decides to entice him into joining her in business and making these delicious meat pies made out of humans. With the relevant sauces she can add, she intends to make a good living. Well, that's all very well for her. But in the meantime, what's happening to poor old daughter? And poor old daughter has been sent to a lunatic asylum by Judge Turpin, where she awaits what on earth he's going to do to her. In the meantime, of course, Sweeney hopes to get him into his chair. So let's hear the number that's coming up now, which is Joanna with Anthony and Swede and a strange beggar woman that comes into their orbit asking for a shelter. It actually turns out to be Sweeney Todd's wife, who didn't die at all, but by a strange trick was able to disguise herself, and Turpin couldn't find her, and she's been surviving up until now. So in she comes and adds her £2 to it. And we hear the number Joanna, because they realise that that's their daughter, the two of them. And then we hear from Tobias. He's coming onto the scene that he will look after Mrs. Lovett, as she's now got a rival in Sweeney's original wife. And he says, God, that's good. And he's going to look after her and sell her pies.
I feel you, Joanna. I feel you. Do they think that walls can hide you? Even now I'm at your window. I am in the dark beside you. Buried sweet in your yellow hair, Joanna. And are you beautiful and pale with yellow hair like her? I'd want you beautiful and pale, the way I've dreamed you were, Joanna. And if you're beautiful, what then, with yellow hair like wheat? I think we shall not meet again, my little dove, my sweet Joanna.
Joanna.
Goodbye, Joanna. You're gone and yet you're mine. I'm fine, Joanna.
Joanna. I'm fine.
Smoke, smoke. Sign of the devil, sign of the devil. Say on fire.
witch! Smell it, sir, an evil smell. Every night at the Vespers bell. Smoke that comes from the mouth of hell. City on fire! City on fire! Mischief, mischief, mischief.
And if I never hear your voice, my turtle dove, my dear, I still have reason to rejoice. The way ahead is clear, Joanna.
I feel.
And in that darkness when I'm blind with what I can't forget,
Joanna,
it's always morning in my mind, my little lamb, my pet, Joanna. You stay, Joanna, the way I've dreamed you are. Oh, look, Joanna, a star.
I tell you, smell that air, city on fire. Quick, sir, run and tell. More than all of the witches spell. There it is, the unholy spell. Tell it to the people and police as well. Tell them, help, pain, city on fire. City on fire. Mischief, mischief.
Though I'll think of you, I guess, until the day I die. I think I miss you less and less as every day goes by, Joanna. And you'd be beautiful and pale and look too much like her. If only angels could prevail, we'd be the way we were, Joanna.
I feel you, Joanna.
Wake up, Joanna, another bright red day. We learn, Joanna, to
gentlemen, here the bird is cheeping, helps to keep it cheery. Toby, throw the old woman out.
What's my secret? Frankly, dear, forgive my candid family secret. All to do with herbs. Things like being careful with your coriander. That's what makes a gravy grander. That thinner roll, you eat them slow, cause everyone's a prize. Eat them slow, cause that's the lot, and now we sold it. Come again tomorrow.
Hold it!
Bless my eyes. Fresh supplies. How about
is that a bite? Fucking a wondrous sweet and most delectable thing. You see, my flies live for me, right?
Toby!
Well, there we have the younger apprentices, Toby, selling, marketing Mrs. Lovett's new pies with their beautiful tastes and sauces added. In the meantime, let's go for a message.
Alan Hamilton of One Agency does more than achieve the best price for your residential property. He promises a relaxed and friendly professional relationship, working with you at your pace to ensure a smooth transition is achieved. Alan also has real skills with people that have proved invaluable in liaising with prospective buyers. Call Alan today on 027 455 353 or email allan@oadunedin.nz.
Oh, Mr. Todd, I'm so happy. I could eat you up, I really could. You know what I'd like to do, Mr. Todd? What I dream, if the business stays as good, where I'd really like to go in a year or so. Don't you wanna know? Do you really wanna know? By the sea, Mr. Todd, that's the life I covet. By the sea, Mr. Todd, oh, I know you'd love it. You and me, Mr. T, we could be alone in a house where we'd almost own. Down by the sea,
anything you say,
wouldn't that be smashing? Think how snug it'll be underneath our flannel when it's just you and me and the English Channel. In our cosy retreat, kept on the untidy, we'll have chums over every Friday by the sea. Don't you love the weather by the sea? We'll grow old together by the seaside, oh, by the beautiful sea. It'll be so quiet, then all come by it, except a seagull. Oh, oh, we shouldn't try it, though till it's legal for two. But a seaside wedding could be devised, me rumble bedding legitimised. Me eyelids a flutter, all turn into butter, the moment I mutter, I do. Down by the sea, married nice and proper. By the sea, bring along your chopper. To the seaside, girl, by the beautiful sea.
Well, there we have it. What she's got in mind, and the plot thickens now because the lady turns out, the beggar lady, as we've said, turns out to be his long lost wife. Mrs. Lubbert has just expressed her view that she's got enough money for her and Sweeney Todd to retire to the seaside, but he's not a bit interested. He's more interested in getting revenge from the wicked judge Turpin and freeing his daughter. Todd distracts him with an offer of a free grooming and murders him. And Mrs. Lovett informs Todd of Toby's suspicions about their business and is now hiding in the sewer after finding human remains of Mrs. Lovett's bakehouse. And while this is going on, Anthony brings Joanna, disguised as a sailor, to the shop and has her wait there while he leaves to find a coach. Coach and horses, you know. The beggar woman comes into the shop. Remember, she's really Mrs. Sweeney Todd, and recognises Todd. Hearing that Turpin's around, Todd kills her and sends her through the trapdoor in the floor. As Turpin enters, Todd explains that Joanna has repented and is coming to him. Then offers a free shave in the meantime. And when Turpin finally gets him there, he stabs him and he disappears under the chair. And so it's all set. But into the action, as a final track, we have the young Toby coming on to tell Mrs. Lovett that no one will harm him, not while he's around. So here we have the final item for the film, Not While I'm Around.
Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you, no sir, not while I'm around. Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care, I got way. No one's gonna hurt you, no one's gonna dare. Others can desert you, not to worry, whistle, I'll be there. Demons will charm you with a smile for a while, but in time, nothing can harm you, not one. Smart, but I ain't dumb. I can do it, put me to it, show me something I can overcome. Not to worry, Mom. Being close and being clever ain't like being true. I don't need to, I will never hide a thing from you. Like so. Thank you.
Well, that's wishful thinking. In London at that time, there's plenty around to harm. But enough of London. We're now going to Bangkok. We got some unfinished business from last week's musical. And we're going to finish that off right now. And it was, of course, Chess. So we've got to the situation where Freddie, the American past winner of the chess championship, is trying to get his title back from Anatoly, the Russian, who's got it. And into the mix comes the arbiter, who's trying to sort things out. The Russian spy, KGB man, whatever, Molokov, and the Americans' equivalent, Water. And they decide to get Svetlana, who was married, or still is married, to Anatoly, the Russian champion, who's come to regain his title also. They've got these two rivals trying to get that chess title for the world. Now, Svetlana has been brought there by the Russian political wing, and they're trying to get her to get Anatoly to lose the match so that they can insert their new preferred champion. And Freddie doesn't like that eventually, because first off he would like to support that idea, and in fact he is gets Anatoly onto a TV program and insults him so that he walks off. He has to sort that out with Svetlana, who he starts taking an interest in. The plot thickens. And then we get the two girls together, Florence and Svetlana, talking about Anatoly and the fact that they know him so well, and they both love him in spite of all that. So three coming your way right now. No deal, because they don't get a deal after that. But at this point, I must mention my sponsor, Alan Hamilton, and he will get you a deal. So make sure you deal with him. So no deal. Pay the pity the child. This is where Freddie tries to say, well, look, I came from poor beginnings, and that's what made me the rogue I am. And then I know him so well, both of the ladies singing what they know about him.
Isn't it strange the complications people attach to situations, almost as if they want to miss the wood for the trees? Nothing will change my basic feeling when I've done all the wheel of dealing. Those in the strongest situations do as they please. You might see all kinds of human emotion here, passion and pain, love and hate. I see nothing other than a simple board game. At the Dusitani Hotel, Bangkok, Alexander Molokov makes his move.
We did not bring you to Bangkok for a holiday, my dear. You must tell your husband he has to lose the match and come home. Talk to Anatoly.
You can have the life you want and anywhere you want it.
But if Anatoly wins, life is going to be very tough for you and your children. Tell Anatoly that.
Make him think of you, not narcissistic dreams of glory.
How many times does he want to be champion anyway?
2 days later, the wife, Svetlana Sergeyevsky, makes her move.
How many times do you want to be champion anyway? Come home, Anatoly. Who needs a dream? Who needs ambition? Who would be the fool in my position? Once I had dreams.
Now their obsessions, hopes became needs, lovers' possessions.
Now you're where you wanna be and who you wanna be and doing what you always said you would, and yet you know you haven't won it all.
And at the Oriental Hotel, Walter de Courcy from Global Television plays his opening gambit.
Your father is alive.
My father? Alive?
Alive in Russia, 30 years in prison.
And you think I would believe you?
Well, the evidence is conclusive, and if you don't believe me, Anatoly will. Now, you get him to lose against Vigon, and Malakoff assures me he can get your father out. And not only him. We have some people to recover. I know that you would simply love a chance to make sure your father's name was high on our list. We want him back, which is to say a gesture is needed from your player. We wouldn't mind if he got beaten. In fact, we insist.
There must be a lie you wouldn't tell me, a limit to your devious ambition. But what it could be, I can't imagine. Is there no one here who's not a politician? There's no deal.
When I was young, I learned that memories shouldn't be built to last. Luxury such as father, mother, jettison in the past. How can a half-remembered figure from a past so remote that it's hardly real alter the way I feel? Pity the child who 25 years on finds her confidence gone.
While in subterranean marble surroundings, two of the world's most powerful players make a mid-game assessment.
You should have seen how she reacted. I couldn't leave till she'd extracted. Promises she would see her father. Simple, I said. Told her the way she could achieve this, even though you might not believe this. She said that I was not to worry, go right ahead.
You don't know her well, she could refuse. She could, despite herself, try to resist us.
Yes, I may be wrong, but to be certain, there are others we can call on to assist us.
And who better than a dethroned king?
Now remember who's paying for you to be here, Freddy, in Bangkok. We have a deal with the Soviets to get some people out, including Florence's father. Provided Anatoly loses, then gets on back to Moscow. You'd like that, wouldn't you, huh?
Communist, Democrat, an intriguing illusion. Fair exchange, tit for tat, comradeship in profusion.
Partner,
this deal,
partner,
is we both stand to win, you and me, the lady also. Don't break her heart,
partner,
just be smart,
partner,
the match, show your love is as pure as snow in Moscow. Thank God we're so civilized, and our word can be a bond. We can turn this into
just a chance that you got some heavy clients.
That's not true, partner. How could you, partner, think I'd want to pursue any deal but our alliance? How can you only think of your selfish ambition and not of proposition? Or you'd rather perhaps see how tin pot competition.
Who put you up to this? There's no deal.
So Frederick makes a desperate final play for the woman he hasn't seen in a year.
Silly boy, woman who I should not have let walk out. There's no hitch,
partner.
Those people stand to win. We'll bring back the golden era. Stick with me,
honey, honey.
Stick with me,
honey, honey.
You don't know what they plan for you long ago in Moscow.
Can't you see? We've moved on. Chess has nothing to do with this. Chess isn't life.
But I've changed. Won't help you with your father. Anatoly would never throw any match. I'm telling you the truth, Florence. Come back to me.
Who'd ever think it's such a squalid little enemy? Watching you descending just as low as he can go. I'm learning things I didn't want to know.
Who'd ever guess that this would be the situation? One more complication should be neither here nor there. I wish I had it in me, God, to kill
and his will. I'll just hate till he knows he's deserted. There's no point wasting time preaching to the perverted.
Who'd ever think it? No one makes the moves intended.
Different now, Florence. I love you. Come back to me.
Everybody's playing a game, but nobody's rules are the same.
Nobody's on nobody's side.
Never be the first.
Everybody's playing a game, but nobody's rules are the same.
I could have made it differently.
Alan Hamilton of One Agency does more than achieve the best price for your residential property. He promises a relaxed and friendly professional relationship, working with you at your pace to ensure a smooth transition is achieved. Alan also has real skills with people that have proved invaluable in liaising with prospective buyers. Call Alan today on 027 455 353 or email allan@oadunedin.nz.
Well, now, after those two ladies talking about Anatoly and what they like about him, Freddie, of course, is not enamoured by that, but he does like fair play. So he has spotted a weakness in the new person that the Russians are promoting, and he meets up with Anatoly in the park and tells him of that weakness and helps him to win the game back from him, so he becomes champion. So it all ends happily ever after style of thing, except that Freddie and Anatoly and Florence and Svetlana both know that they love Anatoly. And so we hear the following tracks in which the game is played and ends, and we finish with the finale, and You and I, and that's sung by Florence and Anatoly when they go back to Russia together and release her father. So here we go now.
This is the one situation I wanted most to avoid.
Then what on earth are you doing? You could be better employed.
No, please hear me out. I think I can help.
If it's about Florence, I'm warning you.
No, it's not about her, your wife or your kids. Money or Walter or Molokov.
What the hell is it?
I want to talk chess.
Chess?
Something I've noticed in Vegan. It's his king's Indian defense. One of the lines he's been trying doesn't completely make sense.
I don't understand.
I told you his king's Indian.
No, I don't understand why you're helping.
Because I love chess, does nobody else. Jesus, sometimes I think I'm the only one. How can you let mediocrity win?
What about Florence's father, my wife and my children?
You've let them all down already. Win or betray yourself too. You don't want those shits to get what they want.
They'll get what they want. They always do.
No, they won't if you win. Be true to the game. The one thing you know you can count upon.
What about Florence?
The one thing is chess.
Chess.
How can you let mediocrity win? You have one chance left. Win for chess. You were 5-1 up. Now it's 5-all. Get a grip.
they all think they see a man who doesn't know which move to make, which way to go, whose private life caused his decline, wrecked his grand design. Some are vicious, some are fools, and others blind to see in me one of their kind. Anyone can be a husband, lover, sooner than me, when they discover domestic bliss is shelter for their failing. Nothing could be worse than self-denial, having to rehearse this endless trial of a partner's rather sad demand prevailing.
As you watch yourself caring about a minor sporting triumph sharing, you're wet with esoterics, paranoid hysterics. You don't pay attention to what goes on around them. They leave the ones they love the way they found them. A normal person must dismiss you with disgust and weep for those who trusted you.
Nothing you have said, this revelation, take my blues as read. My consolation, finding out at last my one true obligation.
I slipped your mind.
Nothing you have said is revelation, take my blues as read. My consolation, finding out at last my one true obligation.
Listen to the shout, they saw you do it in their mind, no doubt that you've been through it, suffered for your love.
And remains world champion!
listening to Musical Matinees for You with Donald Sebel Cook on ORFM Dunedin, brought to you by Alan Hamilton of One Agency, the Property Specialists.
This is an all too familiar scene.
Life imperceptibly coming between
those whose love is as strong as it could or should be.
Knowing I want you, knowing I love you, cannot compare to my despair, knowing I've lost you.
I've been a fool to allow dreams to become great expectations.
How can I love you so much, yet make no more?
Be days and nights when I want you more than I want you, more than I should. Oh, how I want you. You and I, we've seen.
Stories like ours
have happy endings.
You could not give me more than you gave me. I don't know why I'm standing by watching this happen.
I won't look back anymore, and if I do, just for a moment.
I can't imagine a time when I won't care,
but here we are today, and it's over. Oh, happy ending.
You're listening to Musical Matinees for You with Donald Saville Cook on ORFM Dunedin, brought to you by Alan Hamilton of One Agency, the Property Specialists.
Well, that number, that little number, was between Florence and Atoli, and they realise that they are still in love, but they've got to give up their positions, and Svetlana and Anatoly go back to Russia together and resume their past life with him as world champion, and Freddie goes back to his wife and resumes his past situation in the US of A, in the chess game, no doubt. Well, it's nearly time for me to say goodbye. Hope you enjoyed this program, and will rejoin me again next week. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. It looks as if we've got good weather in front of us. You can get out for your gardens, and maybe next Sunday you will tune in, either after you've done some or are doing some gardening, or maybe you're out on a ride. And don't forget my sponsor, Alan Hamilton, who will be very willing to take you round the estate vacancies that he knows exists, or indeed promote the one that you give him to do for you. So we'll just listen to these two final tracks, and then it'll be goodbye from me and goodbye from me.
So in the end, our hero won brilliantly, surprised us all. He's played as well as he's ever done.
No surprise.
Well, this is, he's just announced he's going back to the Soviet Union. He seems unable to win without the added thrill of changing sides. Don't you have a single word to say?
No. No. No, you wouldn't listen anyhow. And what I'm feeling now, hasn't this been a great achievement? Losing your man and nothing in return.
Well, not my man, it's your man. Anyway, Anatoly's return to the Soviet Union is a very decent gesture. It's virtually assured us some very important collateral, including your father. He must have done it for you. He wouldn't have done it for me. We'll get your father out if he's still alive.
Well, it strikes me at this point I should give you a little reminder of who was singing what on that production of Chess. And so we'll have a go at the main ones. Freddie Trumper, the United States champion. Adam Pascal. Florence Vasey, his original wife, Indiana Menzel. Anatoly, Josh Groban, Alexander Molokov, David Bedler, and the new champion, the champion they tried to make new, Vigrad Christian Lund. And there were miles of others, but I wouldn't have time to read them all, so we'll call it a day with that. And we'll go to a little number I've got for you. Now, this is Anna Netrebok, and I'm hoping I'm dialing up the number of Dvorak to the moon.
Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.